Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Yeah, these emails are all pretty much the same. Rick, the original trilogy should be shown first. We were talking about the... Which, in what order you show the Star Wars films to somebody who has never seen any of them? The new trilogy, episodes 1 through 3, could then be shown to them if they have a sudden attack of mental retardation. It's my belief that unless you saw any of the Star Wars movies before the age of around 16, you probably shouldn't see them at all. I don't know if it's a lack of youthful zeal or attachment or what, but the people who I've forced to watch Star Wars think that the old movies don't look that great and the new ones are crappily acted. You then start feeling bitter and resentful of these people who are your friends for not understanding Star Wars. Ideally, you probably should forego any effort to show them Star Wars unless you can catch it at one of the beer theaters. Get out of your mother's basement. Go rent something else. All right, it's fair enough. It's 503-733-2970. In a few minutes, we'll welcome Jen Lane to the Rick Emerson Show. At the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
is that right?
This is Tim Riley.
Are you going to do that story again later for anyone who missed it?
I suppose.
I could read it every hour on the hour. Right, I got it right here. Just like a country station will play the national anthem.
Well, it's a power.
This is our Lee Greenwood. Let's do a 90-minute rotation on it. Okay.
Here's what's happening. The Washington State Senate has passed a measure that would create domestic partnerships for same-sex couples. On a 28-19 vote over the objections of opponents who say the measure would be the same as gay marriage.
Where?
Washington State, our suburb to the north.
Damn.
Well,
it's all going to come crumbling down now.
And now it goes to the House, and their governor there, Greg Law, or whatever her name is, expected to settle when it reaches her desk.
So step 14 on the gay agenda.
It is. Time now for the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Think I did it again.
Isn't that right, Donkey? Ah. Imagine that sound while a guy in plastic pants shuffles after going, "No, you've got my key!" Here's Tim.
Meanwhile, Simon Cowell of that program, The American Idol, tells Britney Spears, "Get out of rehab, go home to your mother, lock the door, eat some normal food, don't go out with your stupid friends." Meanwhile, Spears has been spotted getting out of rehab to attend an Alcohol Anonymous meeting. There are photos of her and another woman leaving promises. In the photo, Spears is smiling, wearing a newsboy's cap, covering her bald head, and had pencil and ink scribblings all over her hands.
Well, you know that, and... Really?
Yes.
What is she, 5?
Yeah, it says, like, Kush on it.
You know what's going to be weird?
What are the directions on how to get back in?
They're going to have to... They're going to have to, Carl White, Lenny Black. They're going to, what the hell am I talking about here? The thing is, they're going to have to keep her out of the public eye. Like, the bald is okay. The long hair is okay. She's going to have that awkward in-between phase, though, when the hair's all thatchy.
Uh-huh.
That's when they're not going to be able to let her in front of a camera, because there's no covering that up, but it looks terrible. That's going to be bad, bad, bad. You have to wear wigs for a long time.
Meanwhile, Us Weekly senior editor Joey Bartholomew says due to Spears' recent bizarre behavior, Kevin Federline is stepping up into the parenting role.
Super Dad.
He's getting some help when it comes to taking care of his and Brittany's children.
He's got his mother there helping him with the kids, and also Brittany's mother, who he really didn't have a good relationship with before. Now the two of them have grown closer, and she's helping out, too. So the kids are surrounded by a lot of people.
Doesn't he have, like, other kids somewhere to...
He has 2 other kids.
I wonder how they feel about it being the super dad for their brothers that they never see. Good times. Why did someone send me a nude picture of Jeff Goldblum? Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, that's bad.
You should send it to me.
No. Here's Tim Riley.
Apparently, Federline would like to reconcile with Brittany.
Kevin wants to get back together with Brittany once she gets out of rehab and, you know, gets her act together. And he's visited her now twice already while she's been in rehab, and he's taken the kids there. And he
That's exactly where you should take the kids. That's and take the...
Look at Mommy, she's crazy.
Yeah, but you'd have your own wing of rehab. They wouldn't know what it is.
Dude, look
at his new apartment.
Come see your fat, crazy, bald, drug-addicted mother. Good times. Seriously, why would you take your children to see their mother in rehab when she had no hair?
Especially if it's only been... How many days has it been? What, like...
Like a week?
Was it only last weekend?
I can't imagine.
That was 2 weeks.
It's been a week. Because it was when I got back. It was after I was back. And I've been back a week and a day.
That's true, because I was thinking that it was she shaved her head and then went into rehab that day.
I've been back a week and one day. And I can't really I'm not believing that she's really turned a corner at this point. So, all right.
That's your Britney watch for now.
That's your Britney watch for Thursday. I don't remember.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Did she say, I think my problem is Steve? What is she saying right there?
Steve?
Is this?
I guess my problem is Phil, or my problem is...
I think my problem is Steve.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Really?
It's definitely not Steve.
I don't really care. Kenny, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I know this has been talked about in the past, but the Britney with the hat, the Newsboys are a Christian rock band.
What?
The Newsboys are a Christian rock band.
Well, I don't understand. When Tim said a newsboy hat, I thought you meant like one of those like, X-ray, X-ray, read all about it.
Exactly.
Those
that's hats. What I meant.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
Not the band, like an actual boy who sells news in one of those old 30s cartoons.
Yeah, well, I just thought, because there was talk about her going to rehab and having the religious experience.
Really?
Well, I thought you guys had talked about that about a week ago, that was going to happen, that she might cross over to the Christian music scene, or at least
Yeah. We were wondering whether she could...
In this case, you would just think a little bit too deeply for
Yes,
us.
Yeah, no, yeah, we, yeah, you've read, yeah, your page is ahead of us. The, we were wondering whether she could come out and do like an Amy Grant thing, but I don't think that's true. I think she's too much of a skank. You can't show your vagina to everybody and then become a televangelist. It doesn't really work that way. Usually it's the opposite. It's the other way around, actually. All right. Thank you, Kenny.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970.
Oh.
Yes?
That's not sexy.
Oh, it's a picture of Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, but there's nothing there.
No, well, he's covered in sand. It's it's a new Jeff Goldblum on a beach. Can I just ask you this question, everybody? Do you realize how much of our day is CBS is effectively paying us to look at nude photos on the internet? Now, it's Jeff Goldblum nude on a beach.
With the waves crashing over his...
As the tide is coming in over his junk.
This isn't fun.
The photo was called Lisa Marie. But my question is, that's not Lisa Marie Presley, is it? Is that Tim? That's not Tim Burton's Lisa Marie. That's not Tim Burton. It's from the back, so I can't tell. It's Jeff Goldblum and his junk being covered by an ocean wave while he's sitting next to a woman identified in this photo as being named Lisa Marie. She must be somebody of note because they're using her name. Her back is to the camera, and I can't really tell who she is, but I don't think that's Tim Burton's Lisa Marie. This woman is not... Tim Burton's Lisa Marie is much more hourglassy than this.
You can't see the front.
Yeah, but how do I put this delicately? I think even from the back, you would be able to tell if that was Tim Burton's girlfriend, Lisa Marie, because she is she does really have an amazingly hourglass figure.
Yes. Tim Burton, I thought he was with Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, he is now, but he was with Lisa Marie, who played Vampira in Ed Wood, and they were together for a long time.
Okay.
And she was actually the basis for what's her name, Sally, in Nightmare Before Christmas, and so forth, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is the most unsexy photo of Jeff Goldblum I've ever seen.
Well, because it's impossible to be sexy when you're nude and covered in sand.
You don't think Spread Eagle with a bunch of waves crashing in you.
Seriously. It's like there's no a sexy photograph anywhere of anybody crouching. You think of the most attractive person you can possibly imagine, and then picture them nude crouching on a hardwood floor. Not sitting cross-legged, not like that, crouching. That's an ugly photograph. They look unattractive. You know that this is true.
Oh, speaking of unattractive, this picture of Ricky Lee Jones. She looks like Cousin It.
In the Willamette. Ricky Lee Jones is like 100. She's,
she looks like Cousin It.
Yeah, that's really true. Ricky Lee Jones.
Hair out of her face, and maybe that's what she looks like.
Ricky Lee Jones, I didn't even really know she was alive.
So. Yeah, she's married to Paul Simon. Or was.
No, she's not.
She was.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Ricky Lee Jones?
She was Mrs. Simon.
I thought he was married to Carrie Fisher.
I don't think so. Well, maybe he was.
And I thought he was married to Edie Brickell after that.
He was married to two or three women.
When did he have time to be married to Ricky Lee Jones?
He's always on the road.
Who is Ralphie May? Anybody?
He's a very special guest.
He's not. He's not. He's just a very fat man. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this man.
Oh, my God.
He's huge. I think.
Oh, he's a comedian, isn't he?
Oh, well, you know how you... Know, well, okay, well,
he's a jolly fat man.
I was going to say, he must be a comedian. He's a fat man. What else would he be doing?
Ballet.
No. He's not doing that, and he's not holding a guitar. And he's way too fat even to be a musician. There's that guy from Blues Traveler. He's the only one that's allowed. There's a limit. At any given time, there's a limit on one really, really fat man in rock and roll. It was John Popper from Blues Traveler, and now it's not. Now it's that guy who sings for Fall Out Boy. Have you seen him?
He's not that fat.
Oh, please, don't delude yourself. I'm not talking about Pete Wentz. I'm talking about the guy, the singer, with the big mutton chops.
Uh-huh.
The singer, he's a big fat ass. What are you talking
really?
About? He's huge.
I don't really pay that much attention
look
to
at the cover of, look at the cover of Rolling Stone, the magazine this month, which I get despite the fact that I don't want it. Fall Out Boy. I mean, he's got a great voice, great singer, writes pretty melodies and so forth. Big man. He's a big man. Not as big as this. This is the fattest man I've ever seen.
He's going to be a comedian then.
He has to be a comedian. I wonder if he comes out and makes some sort of preemptive joke about it. Like, you know, because like every time you see a really fat comic...
The rabbit audience.
Just to make fun of himself before you can make fun of him.
Such a jerk.
I hate comics. I hate them all. I hate comics. I hate stand-up comics. I hate comedians.
Other comedians mean, like them.
No, they don't. And comics all hate each other, too. That's the thing.
Do mimes like mimes? Or is that a separate category?
Oh, why can't I think of a pun answer to that? I don't know. I mean, the list of comedians I like, I can do on less than one hand. And it really is, and it really consists of just George Carlin at this point in time and Chris Rock. That's it. There's nobody else who's any good. Everybody else dead. No, but you know, every fat comic you see, they come out and do this. This is like every fat comic. They'll walk out on stage and they'll do some line like they'll come out of the microphone stand is there. And like the huge fat comic will waddle out. And they'll come out and they'll go, I guess I better move this mic stand so you can see me. And then we all laugh. Because they're fat. All right. Hey, Scotty, can you bring, can you show Jen Lane to the studio, please? That'd be fantastic. We're so over time. I meant to bring her in like 10 minutes ago. It's 503-733-2970. You know, and I'm going to say this, and he'll be a guest on KUFO. You know I'm saying that, and I'm going to walk into him in the hallway tomorrow.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's exactly how this...
He's in the kitchen right now.
No kidding. Really?
Out of the machine.
Color me... Getting all the pretzels out of the machine. Color me surprised. It's 503-733...
Pretzels out of the machine.
You know, there's only two packages of that chocolate Chex Mix left. It's all gone.
Attention,
it's all gone.
Attention visitors.
Attention comedians. There's some chocolate Chex Mix left. All right. It's 503-733-29. You see, when he was growing up, he developed comedy as a defense. Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I was calling because last night I found out that, you know, you're talking about your movie idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the four, like Cocoon with horrors.
Yes. They're actually making a movie about four terminally ill old cancer patients that while they're sitting around, they make a list of what to do before they die, and they do it, and it's starring Jack Nicholson.
No! Are you kidding me?
No, that's totally true, and that's why he's puffy.
Is that why his head is shaved right now?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to know, by the way, and there is proof of this, that this idea of the old guys and the whorehouse and the whatever is an idea I've had for years. I've talked about that for years on the air.
Okay, I'd like to see prove it.
I'm just saying, I have air checks. I have air checks.
You go find them.
I don't have air checks. But I mean, I do, but I don't know where they are. I've talked about this for years, though. All right. Scotty pointed out, by the way, Tim, that even if mimes hate each other, they don't really have any way to express it. Thank you, sir.
That might be true.
All right, there you go. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Barfly Magazine. Our good friends, Jen Lane. Hello.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I'm hungover.
No.
Can you believe it?
No, I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah, behold my shock.
Yeah.
All right, then. So it's going to be, is it pretty much your best appearance ever today? All right. How's Scotty doing? You know, we should have you being the judge of whether or not Scotty is hungover on any given day, because he's learned to sort of mask it with us.
Yeah, because now he's hiding it.
He's really become a functional alcoholic, where sometimes we can't really
he
tell.
He's crying for help.
You know, I can always tell when he's
Dr.
hungover, though.
Dr. J needs some therapy himself.
Well, he gets a little off kilter, which I think might be the reason why he's hungover today.
Hey, speaking of which, what about that crazy text message?
What?
Text message. Remember I sent it to you on Friday, that weird text message?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a weird text message from Scotty?
From some random number, some girl saying something about Scotty. What was it like? So you're a big fan of Scotty J?
I don't know
who this person is or how they got my number.
I'm very...
explain it, because
I have no idea what we're talking about.
On Friday night, I just got this random text.
This is last Friday?
Last Friday.
Okay.
And it was, from somebody saying, so you're a really big fan of Scotty J, and it was signed, I think, Tammy something, but it was from a number that, I have no idea who this person is.
I have no idea.
And then I didn't correspond with him, but... Did you?
Because you sent it to me. You said that you thought it might have been his sister.
I thought you said that it might be his sister.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think I've ever met her.
I'm feeling really awkward in many, many ways.
Yeah.
Rick, this email says these are three things I've encountered this week, and it's only Thursday. Seeing a coworker after he didn't lock the bathroom door. Finding a desk drawer full of surgical gloves and ketchup packets. And hearing you read an email from my sister talking about Jeff Goldblum's package. I have to go drink. How about this? Rick, please post a wonderful story of the donkey on your website. I have to reread it. I couldn't hear half of it on account of my loud laughing. Thank you in advance. Maybe I'll read that when we get back from the break.
The donkey story is the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's great. Where did it take place? What city?
Ireland. It's in
Ireland?
Galway. Well, you said it's Ireland. I don't know. Sarah said it's Ireland.
It's on the west coast of Ireland.
Rick, Rachel is never coming back on the show. Rachel from CNN is never coming back on the show. I think her accent is fake anyway. Just thought you'd like to know.
She didn't seem too stoked to be on today.
You know what? She'll come back on anytime I ask her to come back on.
Oh, okay.
She'll come back on anytime Rick Emerson tells her to. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So, Ralphie May was on that show, Last Comic Standing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he was on, the first season of that. And then they also had him on Celebrity Fat Camp.
It didn't work.
Well,
he needs to go back.
No, the scary thing is that he used to weigh, 750 pounds, and he lost 300 of it all on his own.
Why would you bother to lose? Let me
How
ask you this.
How did he still live?
If you weighed 700 pounds, why would you bother to get down to 400? What do you care? What is it? The girls are suddenly going to throw. Oh, I can't. Do me right now.
When he was on Celebrity Fat Camp, he was talking about how he was trying to get back down to the weight that he was when he was in, high school or something like that, which was, 180 pounds or something. So on Celebrity Fat Camp, I think he lost another, 60 pounds in, the 8 weeks that they were filming or something like that.
The whole thing about how you go. Look, and again, we've talked before about it. I've let myself get a little puffy over the winter holiday, but with no bicycling and, Dennis Pitzenbarger looks like a big cube of ham at this point. So, I mean, look, we're nobody to.
Stop.
No,
That's
I mean, we're.
No mean.
No, it's true. It's,
it is not true. You're just mad because he called you out that you're not in
no,
the best shape
no,
either.
I'm flabby. I'm telling you right now. I let myself get kind of flabby and so forth, and and I try to stay at around 175, and I'm probably 190 something right now. I'll totally admit to that. I don't understand. When you are 700 pounds, and you said in high school he was 180?
Something like that.
You don't wake up the next day and you're 700 pounds. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds between those two figures. Seriously, I don't understand.
Hey, I gained 18 pounds this week.
Yeah, it's like, is it 400 pounds not the tip-off? Like, when you're 400 pounds, do you not realize that maybe things are trending poorly for you? I just don't understand that the whole thing is just... Where do you even buy clothing when you're 700 pounds?
My stepfather's
just wear lots of trades.
Yeah, it's true. You have lots of hockey jersey. All right, thank you, sir.
No problem.
And there you go. That's it.
My stepfather's really big, and his best friend is as well. And they love to go shopping. They're both lawyers, and they're always buying suits. And they walk into stores together, and they go point us to the "Oh my God, it's coming this way" section.
That's funny. All right. You can tell he's a man's man. By the way, you can tell he does guy comedy because he's wearing a jersey of some kind, and he's doing that finger cocking, pointing at the camera,
man.
Kind of a thing.
The back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brad just
that's totally what that is. Back at you, guy. That's what he's doing.
Brad just wrote me and said that I guess he makes a lot of jokes about buffets. Go figure.
Seriously, die. Die in a fire. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Oh, we should break here. Break. We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, and we'll talk to Jen Lane. Oh, we should play this radio demo that we got about from this radio hostess who grabs life by the ovaries.
Is that awkward for you, too? Getting grabbed by the ovaries? Oh, wait.
Back after this, kids.
No more.
it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're here with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Just a minute, I'll reread this donkey story here in a second. Like is coming up at 3, Dynamike at 7. Don't forget, tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Scott Daly will be here with reviews of films, including Zodiac, the new David Fincher film. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. He is your God now.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Today, the Mansfield Freeway became the Milky Way after a trick calling two tankers full of milk ran into trouble and overturned, spilling 7,000 gallons in snarling traffic. People were panic-stricken over milk. It all began at 6 o'clock this morning. Nobody was hurt. And the crews are working to clean up the milk and remove the overturned trailer.
Crews of kittens.
See, and yeah, there was that. And you'll note that I did not use the milking the story for all its worth.
Yeah, I didn't do that either.
It was a moving experience.
That beats my, the story is now a moot point. A moving experience. Wait, seems like there's a dairy pun in there somewhere. Dairy. A daring rescue. No, I got nothing. Okay.
Well, what's Joe Lieberman up to today? He says one of the key components of the 9/11 Commission bill is to encourage the sharing of intelligence.
Not just among federal agencies, but among federal, state, and local agencies. And this gets at the pre-9/11 infuriating problem of the failure to connect the dots, to see the plot, to stop it before...
Stop it. He sounds infuriated.
Yes, he does. America's civil liberties must be protected.
It does so by strengthening the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board that the initial 9/11 legislation created.
It will not. There you go. That's the definitive word. Done. Over.
And now it's time for a refreshing donkey story.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking through the...
That was the proper lead.
I'm sorry. Okay, do it again.
Now, once again, it's time to return to the donkey news desk.
Okay, I'm sorry. Here we go. Do we have Irish music for this? Do we have some sort of an Irish bed or a jig of some kind?
Irish donkey music?
We had the, remember the cart?
But I thought we had, didn't we have like an, I thought we had an Irish jig in the system at some point that we were playing. Remember we were doing that limerick contest? Or was that an intercom? No, that was here. It's because it was a Mark Foley limerick contest. I don't remember what it was called, though. I swear to God we had a limerick. Well, whatever.
Must have been a forgettable bit.
Thanks. Thanks for that. Here we go. This is from the Galloway News. Galloway being in Ireland.
Galway.
Whatever.
Galway.
Nobody in America. How American are you? Galloway.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Nobody knows if I'm pronouncing it wrong or not.
Yes, they do.
Only because you pointed out. Stop.
People who are Irish are insulted.
If you don't point out the glitches, they just pass without being spotted. All right, we've got this. Lonely man brought donkey to hotel room, court told. A man who was found dressed in latex and handcuffs brought a donkey to his room in a Galway City Center hotel because he was, quote, advised to go out and meet people, a local court heard last week. Thomas Aloysius McCarney. Bonus points for having the middle name of Aloysius, by the way. With an address in South Galway, was charged with cruelty to the donkey, as well as lewd and obscene behavior, and with being a danger to himself when he appeared before the court on Friday. He was also charged with damage to a minibar in the hotel room, but this charge was later dropped when the defendant said that it was the donkey who had caused the minibar damage. Solicitor for the accused, Ms. Sharon FitzHenry, said that her... Could these people be any more Irish? Said that her client had been through a difficult time lately and that his wife had left him and that his life had become, quote, increasingly dull. Mr. McCarney has been attending counseling in which he was told that he would be advised to get out and meet people and... do interesting things.
Yeah, if that's dull, what's exciting for him?
It was the interesting things advice that saw him book into the City Center Hotel with a donkey, she said. She added that Mr. McCarney, also suffered from a fixation with the Shrek movies and could constantly be heard at work talking to himself and saying things like, isn't that right, donkey? Superintendent John McBrearty told the court that Mr. McCarney had signed in as Mr. Shrek, and had told the hotel staff that the donkey was a family pet. This was believed by the hotel receptionist, who the superintendent said, quote, was young and didn't have great English skills. Receptionist Irina Legova said that Mr. McCartney had told her that the donkey was a breed of super rabbit, which he was bringing to a pet fair in the city. The court was told that the donkey went berserk in the middle of the night and ran amok, uncontrollable in the hotel corridor, forcing staff to call a garde, which I believe is a cop. McCartney was found in the room wearing a full-body latex suit and handcuffs, the key to which the donkey is believed to have swallowed. He was removed to Mill Street Station after it was said he was the subject of much mirth among the lads in the hotel, or in the prison, rather. He was fined $2,000 for bringing the donkey to the room under the Unlawful Accommodation of Donkeys Act of 1837. Other charges were dropped due to lack of evidence.
That's the gold at the end that doesn't get a chuckle.
The unlawful... Well, because the great thing is that implies that at some point it was such a huge problem in Ireland.
The Unlawful Accommodation of Donkeys Act.
It was an epidemic of people unlawfully storing donkeys in the room, that they had to have some sort of law to get rid of.
And it was invented in 1837, and they still have to institute it.
Seriously, it's
170 years later.
It's a blue law that they've got to keep on the books. They can't get rid of it for even an instant, or else the donkeys are just going to run riot everywhere. All right, let's see, what else do we have here? Rick, I've heard that Star Wars Episode 5 was filmed partially in Forest Grove, Hillsborough, and Banks. Have you ever heard of this? P.S. I really did read this. Please tell me if it's true. Well, somebody will tell us. I'm assuming Episode 5 Star Wars, I'm assuming. Let's see. Dear Rick and Sarah, damn it, Rick Emerson, what the hell is the deal with you and Sarah hating Napoleon Dynamite with all of your heart?
Oh, yeah, I love that movie, too. And I just seem to remember us sharing that.
Yeah, it's not just the two of us.
Yeah.
For you two to despise the film to the extent that it's a deal-breaker for whether or not you'll have a person as a friend or loved one is insane. Please be explaining what it is about the movie that makes you cringe in horror. It's not that I'm cringe in horror, it's that I become apoplectic with rage. Usually I agree with your taste in films, with a few exceptions, but
I thought the movie was hysterical.
I found that it was the number one comedy of the year. I found that it was a slap-happy, laugh-tickling, laugh-a-minute, rib-tickling, zany fest. What? No.
Okay.
But I honestly don't see how Napoleon Dynamite is such a painful thing for you and Sarah. Of course, I could reverse things and tell you about my great dislike for an artist both of you love, but is baffling to me, namely Meatloaf, but I shall not. I guess some things in pop culture just annoy us for reasons that are inexplicable for those, except for those who hold them. So there you go. I got a few emails like that, actually. Tim, this email says, what do you suppose the odds are that the milk will be cleaned up by rush hour? 2%? All right, there you go.
You can go now, Tim.
Seriously, that's, you made me sit down for that.
I did.
There was no payoff.
You had to be.
That was a big overture.
That was vengeance.
Big overture. That was vengeance.
All right.
I don't know. Do we want to do a small round robin, and then we got to do another thing, and then we got to break. As far as Napoleon Dynamite, just to lay it out, I really feel like at some point I ought to write a small essay about this and post it somewhere.
Well, I think you and I have different reasons for why you don't like it, because you don't like it. Well, actually,
why don't you like it?
Have you guys watched it?
Oh yeah.
You see, I refused to watch it.
I fell asleep halfway, like almost at the end of it.
I saw it in the theater.
I don't even know where to begin.
I hate how ubiquitous, like everybody's quoting it still, you know.
See, and I don't hate movies because of that, because all the movies I love get quoted to death.
What really killed me about it was my best friend Jeff Trapp, just for like 3 months straight, from like September through Christmas that year, every other word out of his mouth was mine from that movie.
Right.
You know, I couldn't handle it anymore.
See, and I've learned that I can't hate movies because of things like that, because I'm the worst, because I do, like, my lexicon, the vocabulary is nothing but is 90% of film quotes. So I'm the very worst at that. So I've not learned, I try to not hate things because of their audience, because of the audience that for them. Because there's a lot of bands that I like that if I had to judge them by the audience, I could never listen to them again. You know what I mean? Or by crap that they, you know, whatever. So, but what is your reason?
Well, I have the same reason as you, first of all. It's the rejoicing and making fun of someone who's different and just making, it really bothered me. I don't know, just that whole premise. And then plus all of this, I just did not find anything funny.
Right.
I didn't find anything funny. I found the voices the characters, like all the quotes back and forth each other, as just completely grating and terrible. And I did not think that it was amusing at all.
And I sat there and I sat
it was
in
just
the
frustrating
theater.
To watch.
Sat there in the theater and I did this, and like maybe like a lot of you, I mean, I sort of have, and I'm wrong sometimes about this, but I have a pretty good gut instinct for when a movie's not just going to be bad in an objective sense, but when a movie's not going to be something I like. Like, I have a pretty good sense for that. And I can go into a movie and be open-minded, be proven wrong sometimes. But I didn't want to go, and I fought it, and I hate it. And it's like, there we are. It's like me and Laura and this other couple. And it was, we were in California a while back, and we're just sitting there, and we're watching it. And it's like every single fear that I had is just coming true in spades. My thing with Napoleon Dynamite is, just a couple of things. And I know a lot of people accuse me of overthinking such things. First of all, I wrote what I did. Maybe I'll repost it tonight. I wrote a blog about Napoleon Dynamite when it first came out. And it was this thing called Everything I Need to Know in Life I Learned from Napoleon Dynamite. And maybe I'll read it on the other. If I can find it, I'll read it when we come back from the break. But the big thing about that movie to me is that it's like the big gag in the film seemed to be that, like, first of all, that he was poor, which I guess is hilarious on some level. It's like the fact that he's poor and lives in a rural area and I think, and apparently has no parents. It's all, which is all hilarious. If you talk to poor people who have no parents, they'll tell you that it's one big laugh fest. Having no money and living in a rundown house in the country is fantastically funny, especially if you're a person who's never actually had that happen to you in real life. Like, if you've never been poor or lived in a bad house, and if you have your parents, then I'm sure that those kinds of things are funny, but it rubs me the wrong way that so much of the comedy seemed to be based on the fact that he was like a dumb poor kid, and as like you said, and there is laughing with and there is laughing at, and Napoleon Dynamite is not a comedy that laughs with anybody. Napoleon Dynamite is a comedy that exists solely and completely to laugh at someone for being poor or a misfit or whatever. And it's not like misfits can't be funny. I mean, again, you go back to a movie, like, take a recent example. Like, if you contrast Napoleon Dynamite with a movie on exactly the opposite end of the spectrum, which is Rushmore. I mean, Rushmore is the polar twins of that film. Because you take Max Fisher, who is a dirt poor kid himself, who is, like, absolutely abjectly poor, and who is a misfit, and who is, doesn't fit in with the kids around him, and who has a pack of friends around him who are also equally weird. The other thing that I don't like about Napoleon Dynamite has what I call it has this, the catcher in the rye syndrome, where it's like the kid who doesn't fit in, who's kicked around by everybody, and the movie is like 90 minutes of him just sitting there and being abused and doing nothing about it. Where, I mean, I like movies that are really proactive. I like movies where characters, even ones who are picked on, sort of, have like an aggressive streak to them. There's a movie called Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Yeah, I've seen that many times.
Welcome to the Dollhouse is one of the best movies ever made. And it's the same thing. It's this girl named Dawn Wiener, who in many ways is sort of a female Napoleon Dynamite. But it has like a real black, dark streak to it, where she is, where she sort of fights back, and she has this real aggressive streak to her. And I mean that's a movie that I find to be a lot better, and it deals with sort of the same subject matter. And I guess on a more prosaic level, there were just no jokes in Napoleon Dynamite. I mean, it's like when I watch Dane Cook. I'll watch Dane Cook do stand-up, and somebody else made this observation, I forget who, somebody I knew, but I watched Dane Cook do his stand-up, and I keep waiting for the jokes to start. Like, I'm like, okay, well, this is just the part where he kind of chuckles and everybody sort of laughs at, like, him, like, doing his hand gesture and everybody admires his lush head of spiky hair. And then I wait for him to say a joke. And then it never
happens.
I've
just listened to his, his CDs. I've never seen him live. I thought he was really funny when I first heard him.
And maybe I didn't hear, I guess, Retaliation, which is his big, like, breakthrough CD. I just saw that, whatever his last HBO special was, Vicious Circle.
Oh, when he's standing in a circle and, like, all the people are around him?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I just have heard the stuff they released
somebody
6 months ago on DVD.
I had a friend of mine who summed up Dane Cook's joke style they really succinctly. They said that the Dane Cook thing is to come out and make an absurd statement, and then, if it's not really funny, just to keep repeating it. And so he'll come out and he'll make an observation like, you know what, I think it'd be really great, like, I think it would be great if I could, like, if I had a superpower, I'd want to be able to shoot spaghetti out of my fingers. And then, like, the audience chuckles. And he goes, because I'd be walking down the street, bam, spaghetti out of my fingers. And then he kind of paces around the stage, and he sweats a little, and then he does his hand sign, and everybody laughs, and then he goes,
what's his hand
spaghetti
sign?
Yeah, out of my fingers. He does the super finger, which is, like, the two middle fingers up. It's not just one, it's two, it's like a super F-U. Not to,
that's the lamest
thing. Shocker.
It's not that. It's similar to, but different from that. It's this. It's where he's putting his ring finger and his middle finger up.
Edgy.
And it's like a. He's not just
like an inverse double horn.
Yeah, it's like he's not just giving you the finger. He's giving you two fingers.
Or four.
Spaghetti out of his finger.
I want to know why Jen Lane doesn't like Napoleon Dynamite.
Because I didn't think. Having heard all the lines from the movie, like, a million times over, courtesy of Jeff, I didn't find any of them appealing.
Screw Jeff! And, die,
you know,
Jeff.
Just, like, watching the previews and stuff, you know, in movie theaters, I just didn't, you know, I didn't see anything that looked appealing, and the more hysterical people got about it, the more repellent I
found. Well, and my whole thing is, again, that there are well-crafted, well-done, and it's not like I got highbrow taste in movies or anything, but there are well-crafted, well-done films about misfit teenagers out there. And again, Rushmore to me is the definitive. Rushmore and Welcome to the Dollhouse are the two definitive films. And just to see, it was like the guy who made that, it was like he went through Wes Anderson's, like a trash can at the end of the night, like the guy who made the Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore. It's like he just went through his wastebasket and found like a bunch of like sections of scenes and just strung them into a movie, but like without any thought about how to actually make it funny. That and the fact that like if you can't write dialogue, just have people mouth breathe a lot and say ironic things, like have them say like gosh a lot, because it's really funny. There you go.
Maybe hate is such a strong word. Maybe it's just like a different type.
I hate it too.
I'm trying to be.
I hate it so much.
I know. I dislike it so much that when I hear people say lines from it, I just want to throw things at them.
Yeah. No. I hate Napoleon Dynamite with the white hot intensity of a supernova. I hate it so much and so badly that I was just, after seeing it, I was just in this uncontrollable black rage the rest of the night. Like I couldn't even. I am angry about it like those Star Wars fans were earlier on today when they were talking about George Lucas, and that like two callers in a row got so angry about George Lucas they had to hang up.
See the size of his neck on the Oscars?
The waddle?
Oh my God.
Like he's storing nuts for the winter?
It's like he's got a blimp parked in there.
It's like he looks like a pelican that's just caught a bunch of mackerel.
Yeah.
All right, we should take a break here. We'll come back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Don't go anywhere. The saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, also, if you can't actually come up with any of your own wit or comedy, just put people in funny clothing. Never mind, I'm going to stop right now. I'm not going to leave. It's like 2 years ago. The movie's over. It's done. It's done, and satisfyingly enough, the creators of the film are clearly going to fail at everything they do to follow that up. So, enjoy that.
Yeah, that guy's, what's the actor's name?
John Hederer?
Yeah, he's getting all kinds of bad reviews for his street acting.
Serious role. He's that for the rest of his life. He's Napoleon Dynamite's John Hederer. And, you know, so... Anyway, so that's a problem that just sort of seems to be working itself out. It's 503-733-2970 here at Barfly Magazine's Jen Lane. What's coming up in the world of Barfly?
Well, let's see. On Sunday, I'm going to DJ at Sabala's Last Stand.
It's going to be the last night
of Sabala's under the supervision of Jason
Sabala. I'm just depressed about the whole thing.
But they're keeping the name Sabala?
No. It's going to be the Mount Tabor Theater.
Is it going to stay a bar? Do you know? Or?
Yeah, it is. And the woman who bought it, she's a young woman, like in her 20s. I would actually card her hard to let her into a bar. But she's bought it. And
wow.
Is it going to stay a rock venue?
She's going to keep it a rock venue. She's going to do a lot of rehab on the building itself, which is really, really necessary.
Yeah.
And, you know, get the infrastructure really dialed in.
Well, that's kind of the end of an era, though.
La Luna started a club, you know. Pretty much the same sort of setup, but that's just mix it up.
It's very much the end of an era, though, with Jason Sabala.
But he had a great run. And, so Sunday's going to be the last stand. And, yeah, so come one, come all, 9 o'clock, and I'll be DJing. It's free. It'll be in the sideshow.
Yeah, I'll totally.
I think there's like a goth show or something going on in the main room. But we'll be in the sideshow. And Dougie Fresh will be bartending. And I'll be DJing. It'll just be like old times.
So, you know, is the staff going to say the same, like,
I really don't know.
Okay.
She's supposed to send out a press release, I think, sometime next
week. Lucky.
All right.
Yeah, other than that, we're almost sold out in our third Barfly bus for St. Patrick's Day, which is pretty good, so we're
saying I went on the St. Patrick's Day Barfly bus.
I'm sort of just feeling the big buzzkill now.
Not well, your are fault. You going to go on
Not your fault. No, I'll totally go. I'm just, yeah, it's just a cool place. I mean, and it's not, like I'm a guy who goes to bars a lot. But I mean, that's,
Yeah, I hope she doesn't paint over the stuff in the hallway.
I totally not, because
that would be heartbreaking.
Yeah. Because you hear a lot. I mean, people use this phrase, and it's so often that it's a cliche. But you go, well, it's my second home, or you know, it's a bar. You know, that you hear things like, well, your friendly neighborhood bar, the bar everybody knows your name, or the whatever.
My personal living room. That's where my cat went when he got lost.
I mean,
it's a bar. It's a bar.
It's a cool place, and I think great. I mean, a lot of that is because you know, we've done a lot of stuff there, and then I have done, you know, like a lot of
people. Yeah, I had our anniversary parties there the last 2 years.
It's the place really does feel like a weird home.
Yeah, it's been great.
Way,
so Ellen and Jason have been a pleasure to work with.
Well, so everybody go to Sabala's this coming Sunday, 9 p.m., the Sideshow Lounge. Jen Lane will be there for Sabala's last dance. So there you go. So a bittersweet Sunday coming up. Let's see where the...
Postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey.
So, like I said yesterday, I kind of warned you I was going to miss a good portion of the show. Unfortunately, I think I caught everything you teased.
I got everything. I got to everything today, I think.
The only thing I didn't hear was the ovary grabber.
Oh, yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, we won't know. Now we have to get to tomorrow.
But tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, you didn't get that. That puts you at 10.
10. Well, that's a good... yeah, but one of those I can give to Scotty, right?
Were you down to zero?
Am I allowed to assign one of those to Scotty?
Yes, you are, because it was Scotty's fault yesterday that you did not get to, Mr. Skip.
Real quickly, Star Wars Virgin. In what order do you show the Star Wars films to a Star Wars Virgin?
You skip one, and you start with two.
So two through six?
Two through six. Once they've seen it, you can show them one in contrast so that they can know what a good movie is like. Because you have to have the bad in order to appreciate the good.
That is true, as Elijah Muhammad once said. All right, excellent.
And then if they and when it comes down to the holiday special, if they don't have a Star Wars tattoo on their body, they're not going to enjoy it.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Jen Lane, it's barflymag.com. 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 And be at Sabala's this Sunday, 9 p.m. Sabala's West End. We want to thank Rachel McGrath and CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. See you tomorrow with Scott Daly, etc. You know the rest. Do it yourself in your head. Like us next. Bye now. Isn't that right, Donkey?